The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. If you are looking to make a difference to your work life as well as your personal life, this program is for you. We'll have stories, identify tools and techniques to help you in your everyday success, and answer your questions and hear your ideas. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Stewart.
Welcome, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart. And I have a special topic, as actually every week I think I say I have a special topic for the week. So this one is just the same. It's a special topic for the week. And if I had everyone here that I could see, and of course we're on the radio, so I can't see any of you, but if I had everyone here, I'd probably be asking you, raise your hand if you realized it was an election year. And I bet not everyone would raise it except for hearing all the ads that are on the TVs and the radios and probably seeing some of the yard signs. But typically, you do not think of this year right after a presidential election as an election year. It's one of your off election years. But every year there is an election day and there is something to vote on and there is something, usually some people to elect at some level. And when I was thinking of a topic that was relevant for the last week of October, I wasn't thinking election because I was thinking, oh, that will be on the election day. I'm doing my show on election day, so I'll do an election day topic. But then as I started thinking about it, I'm going, well, that's kind of after the fact. Hopefully everyone has gone to the polls and has voted on the various representatives that are up for election and various amendments that are up and various issues that are up. So why don't I do it the week before so that you can be thinking about how you're going to vote, what you're going to do, how to get to the polls, what you need to do, and all the other ways that you might be able to engage with your representatives on the issues that matter to you. So today I have two very special guests to talk about how you can engage. What are some of the issues that we might be seeing on the ballots this year that we've been hearing about in the news? What are some of their thoughts on those issues and their thoughts on what are the best ways for us to engage with our representatives and make sure that our voices are heard? So the topic is Let Your Voice Be Heard, Vote and Engage. As always, I also want to encourage you to give us feedback. You know, whether it's during the show, during this live discussion, or if by chance, you know, after right now you are downloading it and listening to it, give me your feedback on your questions or your comments or your thoughts. And you can do that really simply. Just go to my host page. There's a button, email the host, and provide me your feedback. Or you can email me directly at kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. I also encourage you, if you want to keep up on what topics are coming up in shows, to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and connect with me on LinkedIn. And all those links are on my host page. So please please provide me the feedback and questions and comments on this show or any of the shows or any ideas that you have for future shows. So with that, I'd like to introduce our guests. We have Emily Hublewicz. She is a senior vice president at CRD Associates with more than 13 years of experience in health and fiscal policy, government relations, writing and communications, and coalition management. She is frequently sought out by the media for her expertise on public health and fiscal policy, such as USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, National Public Radio, Huffington Post, Congressional Quarterly, Roll Call, The Hill, and other trade publications. Emily also serves on the Associates Board of Directors at Wolf Trap Foundation for the Performing Arts. In addition, I have Mary Jo Hoeksema, and she, since January 2004, Mary Jo has been the Director of Government Affairs for the Population Association of America and Association of Population Centers, and has been co-director of the Census Project Coalition. Prior to 2004, Mary Jo held senior legislative positions at the National Institutes of Health and in the U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate. She has an MPA from the George Washington University and a BA from University of New Mexico. Welcome, Emily and Mary Jo. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having us.
It is so good to have you. I just wanted to let everyone know, because I don't know whether it'll come up or some indication of it. I've known Emily and Mary Jo for a few years now, which is fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. And Emily, I mentioned, was on the Associate Board of Directors at Wolf Trap Foundation for the Performing Arts. I'm also on that board, and I think I've mentioned that a couple of times throughout the show. And Mary Jo is a former member. So that's how the three of us have gotten connected, and that's a nonprofit that's very dear to our hearts. So we're very happy to be supporting that. But in addition, I got to know them and was able to invite them onto the show because I do think this is a relevant topic, and you guys definitely have some thoughts and ideas and expertise that you can share with our listeners. So let's get right into it. And first, Emily, I just gave a very quick introduction. Can you share with the listeners about how you go about engaging representatives, both from your professional side as well as from a voting constituent's perspective?
Absolutely. And thanks again, Kim. It's so wonderful to be here, particularly with Mary Jo, who, whether she knows her or not, has been a mentor to me in my career. We'll probably talk more about mentors later on. Yeah. I am a government relations consultant, which is fancy talk for a registered lobbyist. We are not all bad. I work on issues that I believe to be white hat issues, public health, health research, and so on. And so as a registered lobbyist working on behalf of nonprofit organizations, and in my professional capacity, I am paid to interact with elected officials, certainly at the federal level, but even in my volunteer work with the Wolf Trap Associates Board, in interacting and educating with state elected officials on behalf of Wolf Trap to educate them about all the wonderful education programs that the Wolf Trap Foundation is doing. And really what it means to be a lobbyist, as I explain it, it's a lot like sales, but I'm selling information or ideas. I'm trying to convince my customer, namely the elected official, that they need to buy into my idea and make that their priority. And I do that working on behalf of nonprofit organizations that are representing the collective interests of lots of like-minded individuals. And in doing that, as you might expect, I do a lot of face-to-face meetings with elected officials and their staff. I also personally contribute to political campaigns of individual members, also PACs, both in my professional and my personal capacity. But as an individual and as a citizen, I try to stay as engaged as I can in my local politics, and I attend town hall meetings and events that are thrown by my member of Congress, and of course I always make sure that I vote on election day.
Great. Thank you, Emily. Mary Jo, how about you?
Well, thank you, Emily, for that very generous segue. I've also worked with Emily and admired her work for a number of years, so this is a very exciting opportunity to be with both of you today. Like Emily, I am also a registered lobbyist, and we both lobby on health issues, but I also lobby on behalf of the interests of statistical federal agencies and other scientific agencies. And I do a lot of the same things Emily does. Both of us are very involved in planning face-to-face meetings with not only members in both the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate, but more importantly, their staff, who sometimes are there longer than the members. We write action alerts to try to engage our grassroots members so that they will call in and reinforce the messages we're delivering when we have our face-to-face meetings on the Hills. Also write a number of products such as letters, one-page fact sheets, reports. All of these materials are very important not only as leave-behinds at these meetings we have, but also to use when you're engaging people on a regular basis via email. We also do a lot of briefings to bring experts to the Hill to meet with staff. So those are ways in which professionally I engage members of Congress and their staff. Personally, I do some of what Emily does. I also, though, have tried to do what I encourage my members to do, and that is I've sent emails and I've called on behalf of issues I care about, not only as a representative of the organization I represent, PAA, but also as a private citizen on issues I care about. And like Emily, I have taken advantage of the attendance of my members at neighborhood functions. We had, in fact, a picnic here in my neighborhood a couple weeks ago, and our representatives came, and I made it a point to introduce myself to them and have a conversation with them about a couple of issues. I give money to some candidates. I think that's an important part of the process and probably something we'll get into later.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, both Emily and Mary Jo. And, you know, if I can just add my two cents, just as more of a voting person, voting constituent, citizen, you know, I remember having my parents always, as soon as we turned 18, making sure we registered to vote. And then it was voting. And one of the things that they always told me, and I find myself saying the same thing to my children, is if you don't vote, you know, you are accepting some of the representation that you have. So if you're voting, your candidate might not win, but you at least are expressing your views, and you're expressing them in one way. And then we will get into, and Emily and Mary Jo did talk about some of the other ways that you can also express your support, and we'll get into more into that. But I do feel, and maybe it's growing up in the Washington, D.C. suburbs and area, that voting is very important, and it's something that we can do, and we can voice who we have in office. And I hope that and encourage people to register to vote and then vote on Election Day. So with that, it is time for a break. It will be a 2-minute break. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and we will be back with Mary Jo and Emily to talk more on more ways to engage our representatives and to vote and what the issues are out there. Thank you.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. you know that at the root of every business problem lies a communication issue? Communication Nation, a show that brings effective business communication practices to the masses, addresses a number of topics and talking points that impact your professional development, as well as business productivity and profitability. Host Jill Schiffelbein makes the theoretical tangible. Tune in each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be ready to become a better communicator with Communication Nation. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. And we are talking about Let Your Voice Be Heard, Vote and Engage. So we were talking last with Emily and Mary Jo on how what they do professionally and then what they also do personally in terms of interacting with their representatives. So let's talk about, you know, sort of the current situation that I'm sure that all of us have heard about and expect and maybe even have the perception of. But how does the flood of money from corporations and the influence of the mega PACs impact the motivation of the individual voter to become engaged in the political process? Okay. Mary Jo, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Well, I mean, whether or not you agree with the way in which national campaigns are currently financed, it is the way that it is. And money is an important part of any candidate's role when running for office. You have to raise money, and these PACs are an important way for them to do so efficiently, as well as to garner endorsements from particular special interests. The thing I think individuals underestimate is that these mega PACs are actually something they can belong to. I mean, if you have joined an interest group because you have a professional or a personal interest, then you most likely belong to a group that is giving money to a candidate. And I would encourage people, if they don't belong to an interest group, that reflects their professional or personal interests, to consider joining one, and then to take it a step farther and to look at, you know, who are the candidates that this organization has endorsed, and do they want to not only choose to vote for these candidates, but also go a step further and provide funding to these candidates. I also have to say that, you know, since 2008, President Obama really chartered new territory when his operation developed a way for small donors to get engaged in the process. People giving $10, $20, $30, $50 were able to have a voice and contribute, and that has been a way that I think a lot of candidates have gone. So it's not just, people shouldn't feel that they can't be a part of what a mega PAC does as far as influence the campaign. There are other routes by which people can contribute and should if they feel strongly about a candidate or their views.
Emily, what are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with Mary Jo? Do you have additional comments to add?
I absolutely agree with Mary Jo, and I know that many times we look at politics and we see the billions of dollars being spent, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed and disenfranchised. But when you look, I think, at the 2012 election, particularly the presidential election, and spending by special interest groups, both on the Republican side and the Democratic side, obviously the Democrats were significantly outspent, but the spending had no effect. The president was reelected. And so I think that goes to show that money has a role in politics, but it is not the only role. And I'd quote Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, a famous Virginian, as saying that we in America do not have a government by the majority. We have a government by the majority who participate. And I think we're seeing that now as voter participation is at all-time lows of, you know, about only half of eligible voters are voting. It's important to remember that we shouldn't take that for granted. There are people around the world who have died in the fight to be able to have a, you know, one vote in the process. People in America have died to have that right to vote. And, you know, so understandably, you know, life can get in the way, jobs, family, other commitments. But it's so important to vote and participate in the process and not take that for granted. And when people do vote and they have their voice, one vote, one voice, you know, I think it helps mitigate the impact of big dollar spending.
Yes, and again, just to add my my two cents to it, you know, one of the things, and if Mary Jo and Emily, you have comments on this, one of the things I feel I have seen over the last, I don't know how many, 12, 16 years, is that they've made it so it's easier and easier to vote. They've always had absentee voting. But they've also had, like, the early voting and some rolling votings that varies. I don't know whether it's every election, because I just go to the polls or do absentee when for my voting. But I think that they're trying to make it easier and easier for, and more accessible, I should say, for people to vote. And as I stated before, by voting, your candidate may or may not win, but at least you're expressing your views. And I do, I know that when, I know that you have voted, if you and I disagree on, you know, what's happening, you know, I'm going, okay, you at least exercised your right to vote, and we can have that conversation. Because if your candidate didn't win or my candidate didn't win, we at least did what we could to support the candidate we wanted to.
That's right.
I completely agree. And it's not only, Kim, that it's easier to vote because there are many states that are have passed laws that are making it more, are making it easier for people to get to the polls before Election Day. But there are also campaigns. Whoever you're supporting in the course of a campaign, there are volunteers associated with those campaigns who are willing to give you rides to the polls and to assist you in whatever way to help you exercise your constitutional right to vote. And people should be taking advantage of that kind of support if they need it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. So, you know, and I think this kind of flows into it. How do those of us who do not interact with representatives every day voice our opinions and engage so we are heard? So beyond the voting, how do we engage and how do we make sure that our representatives do know how we feel on the various issues that they are addressing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Kim, there's actually a pretty significant political theory about engagement and how to engage. And I will summarize quickly by saying there really is something for everyone and there are no excuses. So, you know, I think voting is what we obviously associate most closely with engagement in the political process. And things that go along with campaigns, such as, you know, wearing a campaign button or posting a yard sign or putting a bumper sticker on your car. But there are things that you can do throughout the year to stay engaged and continue to interact with and influence your lawmakers long after they've been sworn in. All, certainly members of Congress and the state legislature, do events back home. They make appearances. And so that's probably one of the best ways to interact face-to-face is to attend these events. And actually have an opportunity to shake their hand and engage with them on some of their views and their positions. As Mary Jo mentioned, you can call any lawmaker's office to share your views. You can do a pop-in to an elected official's office. Another way to engage is through the media. Sometimes forget that lawmakers actually read newspapers, and they have staff who track to find out when they are mentioned. So anytime you write an op-ed or a letter to the editor and you mention a lawmaker's name, they're going to see that. And so that's a way to influence them indirectly. With with the sort of explosion of social media, this is probably one of the best ways and easiest ways to engage, by friending them on Facebook or following them on Twitter. Obviously, members of Congress, some of them tend to get in trouble when they use Twitter, but it is a very effective way to interact directly with members of Congress, because many of them, in fact, do their own tweeting or their own posts on Facebook. It's a good way to know what they're up to, what events are they going to, where are they going to be. It's a good way to learn their views on different issues. And it's also a great way to understand what they're hearing from other people like you in the community. So when you have a hard time understanding, why did my member of Congress vote that way, or why did my representative of the state legislature vote a certain way, you can go on their Facebook and learn, well, here's what other constituents are saying to them. And oftentimes their votes are reflecting what they're hearing. Finally, I think in just in a very simple way, we've sort of had this ingrained in our psychology that we shouldn't talk about religion or politics, right, at the dinner table. I would say the opposite is true. We don't talk about politics enough. And there are ways to discuss issues in non-confrontational ways, but that are important to have that dialogue on an ongoing basis, to understand what people are thinking, where are they coming from. It can help shape your own views, and you might shape others' views. And I think it's part of that discourse that is it makes you a good citizen. And again, you can do on an ongoing basis in a fairly indirect way with, you know, very little inconvenience to you.
Wonderful. Those are actually, you know, there's a whole range of things there that you talked about that I hadn't thought about. And I thought I was pretty engaged and up on how to interact with my representative. So thank you, Emily. Mary Jo, I'm going to change up the question on you. And how do we learn about, beyond, I guess, the social media, are there other ways that we learn about what the representatives are debating, what issues they're discussing and voting on, so that we know what things we that are current to them, because they are talking and debating on them right now, and that we can engage them on our opinions?
Well, exactly. I think, you know, times have changed since I worked on Capitol Hill. Now every member has a homepage, and it's easy to access if you want to find out more about what your member of Congress is doing and how he or she is voting and what bills they've introduced. You go to house.gov, you put in your zip code, your member comes up, and you're taken right to their homepage. Same with the Senate, senate.gov. If you're not sure who represents you, it's very easy to find out. And from there, you often get prompted to look at their Facebook page or to look at their tweets, if you're someone who's not social media savvy like Emily, who is quite the guru in Washington, and we all really appreciate everything she does for the advocacy community, encouraging us to use social media. Also, again, I have to put in a plug for the importance of joining an interest group or organization that represents your personal or professional interests, because many times these organizations have newsletters or alerts that they send out to their members that will make you aware of what members are doing in the House and in the Senate on issues of interest to the organization overall, which seemingly will reflect your personal or professional interests. And this is a good way to keep apprised of important news regarding your representative's actions or votes on particular matters.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Those are very informative. And as I said, I've learned something from both of you on how I can further engage with my representatives. And with that, it's time for another break. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and we will be right back with Emily and Mary Jo after a 2-minute break.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy, and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth.
Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment. And that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune into Real Recognition Radio. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I am your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I have Emily and Mary Jo, and we're talking about how we can have our voices heard. We are a week out from election, and we want to be prepared going into this election and vote, and then also engage with our representatives and understand what they're debating, what their positions are on various issues that are important to us, and how we can better engage and voice our opinion. So some of the things that we have talked about so far is, one, of course, voting on Election Day, 1 week from today, but two, that you can engage in the mega PACs or join some of these nonprofits that are engaging people like Emily and Mary Jo to voice their opinions and provide, you can provide, join as a member, provide donations, but it's not all about corporate corporations giving to the mega PACs. There are special interest groups that you can join that support issues that are important to you. Engaging with representatives locally when they have events in your areas and using social media to follow your representatives and understand where they're going to be, what events that they're going to host, how do they feel about the issues. Also going onto the internet and looking at what your representatives are debating and what their issues are and calling in to their offices or stopping by their offices and expressing your views and getting to know your representatives a little bit better. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that are going on. So I think, Emily, why don't we start with you? What does the extreme partisanship.
Yay.
I don't know why that has not been rolling off my tongue. We now see throughout the country due to people's willingness to participate in the electoral process.
Well, this is a great question, and you know, I think particularly we see this now in the aftermath of the federal government shutdown. I mean, when you thought Americans' views and perceptions of Congress couldn't get worse, they did.
favorability ratings for Congress are at their lowest levels ever. In fact, there was a poll that came out during the shutdown that people thought more highly of cockroaches, root canals, and dog poop than they did Congress. So it's pretty bad. Unfortunately, I think it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways. People are dissatisfied with government, so they don't vote, and then they don't see the policy change that they want or the progress that they want, and so they don't like government even more. So we go down this spiral of sort of disenfranchisement, when in fact, you would hope that when people are frustrated with government, they would do the opposite thing. They would actually get more engaged and say, now is the time for change. I'm not taking it anymore. And I think we also have to remember that this is of our own making. That the folks that are elected officials are there because we, the people, elected them. And so to the point you made earlier, Mary Jo and Kim, when you don't vote, you almost have no reason to complain. Because you didn't voice your opinion in that process, and the outcome may have been different if you did. So, you know, unfortunately, I do think it hurts participation in the electoral process. People feel discouraged by government. My hope would be that eventually people would see this as an opportunity to become more engaged and enact change.
Well, and one point, too, I think I've seen more and more on election night that it's come down to a matter of votes. I mean, it's not thousands of votes. It's mm-hmm. like 10, 20 mm-hmm. votes
yeah.
on many, many times. And so that should tell people that, yes, your vote absolutely counts.
Yep.
Mary Jo, do you have anything to add to that?
I'm desperately trying to put a silver lining on this because I completely agree with Emily, and yet even during these times of extreme partisanship and polarization in American politics, which is not unique, we have gone through this before. Despite what people will say about, you know, the morale's never been lower on the Hill, the parties have never been more polarized, not true. FDR, you know, faced off with the Republicans. I mean, it goes back to the Civil War, certainly. We have had periods in which the parties have been very polarized and the American people have felt very disenfranchised from their own leaders. That being said, when you have periods of extreme partisanship, you also, I think, attract the interests of a certain percentage of the American people who maybe didn't pay attention before. So to put a silver lining on it, even during these periods of extreme partisanship, you are, for better or for worse, attracting people who might not otherwise become involved in the political process.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the top 2 to 3 defining issues going into this election next week? Do you have any predictions or anything that you think people should be watching out for and seeing what happens on election night? Mary Jo, do you want to take that one to start?
Sure. So this is an off year, as you said at the very beginning, not a year when we're electing a president or the House of Representatives isn't turning over. So there's really not, there are, though, some very important elections taking place, particularly in our home state of Virginia. Really, the nation is watching because we have two people running who I think represent, if you will, the extreme positions that exist currently in American politics. And people are watching Ken Cuccinelli, the Republican, and Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, in terms of how that race plays out. The other race to watch is, of course, the gubernatorial election in New Jersey, simply because Christie's running for re-election, and people really want to see what he's saying and how he fares in this election, because he is someone who could be a national player. There are also some very important mayoral elections in Boston, New York, Los Angeles that are important to people locally, but also give us insight into who may be, you know, the next generation of national leaders, if you will. But in New Virginia, I think there are a couple of defining issues that are really driving this election. First of all, of course, the economy, and which candidate can help Virginia, not only, which has been a very good record, and on our economic record in Virginia has been very solid, but who can continue to build on some of the progress Virginia is making to improve its economy. But I think more importantly, some of the social issues are really playing out. We really see that in some of the polls. I'm sure, Emily, and you read about them today in the Post. Women are largely going to define the outcome of the election in Virginia, over reproductive rights, in particular. So that is an issue that is very much defining, I think, the outcome of this election and who will show up at the polls.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Emily, do you have anything to add to Mary Jo's comments?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, what's interesting, I think, is particularly when you look at the gubernatorial race, and really elections nationwide, it's often less about the issues and more about the person, the actual candidate, and their likability. I think that will play into here. You know, sometimes, obviously, there are candidates who are much more likable than others, and you hear people who say, you know, they may not know their policy positions, that they may not know where they stand on the issues, but they just seem like a nice guy or a nice gal, and you'd like to hang out with them and have a drink. I mean, so people vote for people for different reasons, but I do think that the issues that Mary Jo mentioned will play a role, but also the sort of the likability of the candidate. Mm-hmm. And with Virginia as a really a purple state, you never really know what you're going to get until that night.
Yep, absolutely. So I don't know why I'm intrigued by this question, but I am, and probably because I grew up in this area. So, and I will go first on it and talking about what I do every election night. And it's kind of a routine that I have, and I've been doing it for I don't know how long, but I get a good bottle of wine. I have a nice dinner, and I sit in front of the TV and eat my nice dinner and drink the bottle of wine, usually with my husband or my family or whoever's around, maybe some friends, depending on what else is going on, and watch the results. And for some reason, I can stay up very late those nights. I usually don't stay up watching the results, whether it's an off year or a big election year. That's what I do. I've done it for years. So I'm going to throw it out to you two on what do you do on election night? Emily, why don't you take it first?
Well, of course, I vote.
Yes.
and then I typically, like you, Kim, go home and sit in front of the television all night. I also, because I am really engaged in social media, I listen to the TV more than I watch, and I am glued to my iPhone watching Twitter and mm-hmm. watching what everyone's saying about what's happening, early results that may or may not be right. But, you know, sort of the multimedia approach to seeing what's happening with the election. And, of course, monitoring Facebook as well and having certain posts and chats with friends on Facebook. So it truly is an interactive experience.
Yeah, so you'll have to get me on how I can do that with the social media, because that's a dimension I have not incorporated into my evening. So maybe this year's going to be a new start. So
yeah,
quickly,
there you go.
Quickly, Mary Jo, what do you do on election night?
Oh, you gotta watch the results, and I'm afraid I'm old school. I watch CNN. I don't change the channel because it can get too confusing, and I want to stay glued to what they're calling because that seems to be what the other major networks follow. But the only thing I would add to that is I have been known in the past to attend a campaign party or two, having worked on a few campaigns.
Yep.
So I've been known to watch a few election returns from, you know, hotels in Albuquerque and D.C. and Virginia to, you know, and New Haven, Connecticut, to share in the excitement of the outcome.
Mm. Well, wonderful. And with that, we have one more break. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I hope you come back after 2 minutes after this break. Thank you.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Calling all CFOs, finance and risk professionals, your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, Voice America listeners. You are listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. And we have had a fun-filled discussion on how you can engage with your representatives. And I think that we have stressed voting on Election Day, which is 1 week away, is very important. And we hope and encourage you to vote. That is a way to get your representatives to voice your opinion on issues, on amendments that might be up. And, you know, even after voting, to find out where your representatives are. Get to know your representatives. They do have events. They do host events. They want to know you as much as you should want to know them, no matter where what your position is in terms of whether you wanted them elected or not. And I would encourage you, even if it's not the person you wanted elected, that got elected, go and get to know them. And voice still continue to voice your opinion on issues. And find the special interest groups that are important to you and be active members in them so that they can also be going to your representatives on your behalf and voicing your opinions on the various issues. So, you know, here's something that I always find fun at this segment of the show. And it really goes back to the whole point of the show of Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. And how do we find success every day? What are some of the practical things that we can do to be successful each day? And how do we define success? Last week, we spent the whole show talking about how, you know, the women that I had on defined success. So I think that it's interesting to find out from everyone that's on the show how they define success. So Mary Jo and Emily, you are no different. And being on the show of Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, I want to ask you, how do you define success? And with that, do you feel that you've achieved success? And I'll start off with Mary Jo.
So, you know, I do feel I've achieved success, and the way I define my success is, has been, as of late, my ability to sort of fulfill, if you will, my personal and professional obligations while maintaining balance in my life. I have young children, and it's very important to me to be involved in their lives at this point, and of course throughout their lives, but in a different way at this point, to be home when they get home, to be able to help them with their homework, take them to their activities, volunteer in their classroom, etc. But at the same time, I am not willing to completely forfeit my career aspirations either. So striving to reach that balance is important to me, and I feel because I have a flexible job, a supportive family, those are elements that have enabled me to achieve what I define as success in my life at this point in time.
Wonderful. Emily, how about you?
Well, it's funny, you know, this question was hard for me to answer because, you know, when you think about professional success, I guess the ultimate measure would be, you know, does a law that you want passed pass or not? Now, obviously, you can't control the views of 535 members of Congress. So it's funny for me to take a step back and think about this. But, you know, I think for both my profession and really life is all about relationships. And so For me, success is earning the trust and the respect of my peers, and my peers, my defined as my friends, my colleagues, my family. And, you know, have I achieved that success? I think so. I'm working on it. But, you know, as with relationships, they need to be cultivated and make sure, you know, it's now maintaining that respect and trust and keeping it. And so that's, you know, something I work on every day.
Yep. Now, both great answers. And one of the things that we have definitely found is that everyone has their own definition of success, and it varies, and it's a very personal definition. And I think the other thing that we talked about specifically last week was that, you know, at different stages of our lives, our different definition of success has changed. Yeah. And so we talked about whether we found success at this stage of life with this particular definition that we each individually were using. So I think it kind of, both of your answers kind of align to what are some of the trends or some of the themes that we've been seeing when we've asked that question to the various guests. So here's another question that, from what I can tell, the listeners have the most fun with, and it might be because it's the most practical to them, but what do you do when you've had a bad day, and how do you get over it? And I'll let Emily start off with that one.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot. well, actually, there are a couple things. I whine to my husband, and I drink wine, typically. The other thing I really like to do that drives my husband crazy is being a political junkie, I love to watch all the talking heads and yell at the TV as if I were on the show. And my husband always has to remind me, they can't hear you, Emily. I can hear you in the basement, but can you please stop yelling at these people on television? So it's very strange, but it's cathartic and it makes me feel much better.
That sounds great. So, Mary Jo, what do?
We have very supportive husbands, don't we? Because I also turn to mine and, you know, bend his ear, and I think he listens to me and makes me feel better. And then I go outside and I, you know, throw the basketball with my son. I play Barbie with my daughter. I get as far away as I can from what it was I was immersed in that day to watch the talking heads and will maybe remind me of what it will trigger an issue that came up that day, and I don't want to think about it. I want to get away from it and remember that there's a lot more going on in my life that is important too, and I need to disengage and remember that the sooner I go to bed, the sooner we'll have a new day and a chance to start over.
That sounds great. So we have 2 minutes left, so very quickly for each of you, and Mary Jo, you can start off. What is some practical advice you can give others to help them be successful every day?
To be successful every day, you know, look around you. You have mentors and support networks all around you that you need to take advantage of. And take advantage of them. Seek the advice of others who have jobs that you aspire to. Align yourself with successful people, positive people who see the importance of cultivating your interests and your career, and work with them and take their advice to heart.
Wonderful. Emily, how about you?
I would say know what you can control and what you can't. And focus on what you can control. As a control freak myself, this is something I am still working on every day. But I think it's very important. Otherwise, you can make yourself crazy.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Emily and Mary Jo, for being on the show. Greatly appreciate it. As I said, I definitely have learned things that I can do to engage with my representatives more fully than I currently do. I hope and I expect that the listeners have also learned what they can do, and I hope that we have convinced people who may not have been thinking about going out to vote next week, see what's on your ballot, do a little research and see what issues are on your ballots, what are the what representatives are on the ballots, and go out and vote. And I do want to hear from you, and I am sure that if you do have a question for Emily or Mary Jo, and you are downloading my podcast because you weren't able to make it live, that send those questions to me, and I can absolutely get them to Mary Jo and Emily. I'm sure that they'd be happy to respond to them. Love to have your feedback, so definitely check out my host page. On there are, you know, email the host buttons. You can get in touch with me through kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Like me on Facebook, connect with me on LinkedIn, follow me on Twitter. And with that, I hope everyone has a very successful week. And please tune in next week on Election Day to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Thank you and good night.
Thanks again for joining us this week for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Please join your host, Kimberly Stewart, again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. This week, take one more step to find your success.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.